The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yes. It is a top five at five. These are the top five most important or interesting or entertaining things that you should know about that happened in the last 24 hours or so. Checking in at
number five.
Rush Limbaugh today announced during his syndicated radio show that he has been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. He's 69. Probably one of the most influential voices in conservative politics of the last 50 years, for sure, and one of the most influential radio personalities of all times. He said that he wanted to be honest and direct with his listeners.
Worst thing that can happen is when there is something going on and you try to hide it and cover it up, it's eventually going to leak, and then people are going to, why didn't you just say it? Why did you try to fool everybody? And it's not that I want to fool anybody, it's just that I don't want to burden anybody with it, and I haven't wanted to, but it is what it is. And you know me, I'm the mayor of Realville, so this has happened, and my intention is to come here every day I can. And to do this program as normally and as competently and as expertly as I do each and every day, because that is the source of my greatest satisfaction professionally, personally.
He was an admitted longtime smoker of cigarettes and then eventually transitioned into cigars. And lung cancer mostly is connected with that, but you never know. There could be other factors as well. I have to say, 31 years ago when he started his nationally syndicated show, the Chicago affiliate, WLS, was his second affiliation after Sacramento, California, where he was coming out of, and then New York City right after that, WABC. It was all part of a deal for the ABC Cap Cities radio network at that point to put him on, and because his show was being produced essentially by former ABC executives. That's how he launched initially. And I was doing middays with him in the early 1990s. It was me, and then it was him, and then me. And he would come to Chicago. We were on sales trips together. We spent time together in New York and in Florida. I mentioned this earlier. He and I don't necessarily agree on all of our politics, but we do agree on our love for radio and our love for the technique of radio and the tactics and the art of this. And he's one of the greatest in, without question, one of the guys who brought production elements to talk radio that nobody had done before. And I think a lot of people in my generation of this business owe him a debt of gratitude for that, for bringing musical bumpers and for bringing the music you played before, you know, during after commercials when you're rejoining the program. And other sorts of technique that he brought to it, parody songs and things like that, that were really morning show, rock and roll morning show or music morning show techniques that he brought to talk radio. And he changed the sound. And again, he changed it along, you know, a very, very stark political line, which was designed to maximize his appeal in a lot of different markets. And he did it particularly well, you know, throughout the country in middle America, I guess one would say. His success was good in major markets, but not what he was really getting in terms of shares and a lot of other places around the country. But he's a very decent human being, too. I think that's one of the most important things. And then when you have moments where, you know, people are in what it sounds like Rush is in a mortal battle now, so you can put aside the lances here and remember what the contribution in the art, and he represented a point of view a lot of Americans have, and he represented it proudly for those folks that had a voice that they heard that was different from the voices they were hearing on radio or television and other places, and that they could agree with, and he gave rise to a lot of different things, and Rush Limbaugh again, and you heard it right there. He was honest. He wanted to be forthright about what is going to happen here. He's going to appear on a show as much as he possibly can while he battles lung cancer, and I personally wish him the best in his attempted recovery here. So, with having said that, I appreciate the time that he and I were able to spend together, and again, you know, not so much about the politics, but as much as it about the fraternity of what we do in our business, and anybody who's able to amass the kind of audience and the kind of response that he has done something very, very special in our business. So our best wishes go out to Rush Limbaugh today. Lauren Lapka has got the traffic and the weather.
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mateer, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It's the Rokon Show, top 5 at 5 right now on 720 WGN. Stay tuned, because number one is a doozy. It's a doozy. We found the real-life Becca, as we like to. That's a character that we have on the show, of a young woman who might enjoy White Claw more than she does logic. And we will win. And it turns out that this Becca's real name is Becca. Wait till you hear this. And some of the audio is from a field sobriety test, so you know it's going to be good. Stay tuned. But before we get to that, we got to get to
number four.
But it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell. We're sure gonna miss it.
Well, I will say this, that Illinois numbers are in terms of the pot. There is the use of legal marijuana in Illinois. $39.2 million in sales total in the month of January. This is the first month. That's a pretty good number right there. And about $8 million of that came in from out-of-state residents coming across the border. Right? Dodging across. Got your Indiana types. I mean, listen, I understand the smoking of the weed in Indiana. It's very important. You just want to get the smell of Hammond out of your nose, right? That's the most important thing. So now, there were this is an astounding number when Kim reported, 972,000 transactions in 31 days. And remember, it was on January 1, where there's no businesses open. They were open and running out by 10 o'clock in the morning. So the State Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations reported, Jeremy Unruh, PharmaCann's Director of Public and Regulatory Affairs, says that even though there's a pot shortage now, it's hard to tell if sales will be like this every month.
We knew that demand would probably exceed our capacity to comfortably serve that demand. Then it takes 6 months for that build-out to actually occur. And then once that build-out actually occurs, it takes about 3 months to grow and harvest and process those plants. It's not what happens on day one or day two or day three. It's what happens at month six. It's what happens at month 12, at month 18, at month 24. That's the rollout of this program. This program is intended to be rolled out over years, not days.
Yeah. We'll be discussing this on the other side of Kim's News at the bottom of the hour, because I want to know from people if this is better than your local dealer, the guy in the street corner, the mailroom guy. I want to know if people are using this or they're not, and why they're using it. If you're going to the farm to one of these dispensaries, are you doing it because you smoked before and now you now that it's legal, you want to do it again now that it's legal? I'm fascinated. Endlessly fascinated by what has happened here. And I think this is one of the bigger attempts. This is the first major city in the Midwest, certainly, and actually east of Los Angeles. I mean, Denver obviously is a pretty big city, but not like Chicago or New York or LA. And it is interesting to see how it's being handled here. And I think it's going to be very instructive for the rest of the country, because we're a test market. All right, we'll get to that, though, after we get through the top 5 at 5.
Number three.
And reminding,
don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on this show. And now every Bears fan sings a sad, sad song. Don't you wish
wish we had my home.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, that was a song that we did, the great Brian Altimer, our sonic genius, did for us last season. Not even this season. It was last season. And now look what happened. We could have had Patrick Mahomes.
He's won an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. He's a champion now.
I mean, don't you, if you're the Bears organization, don't you owe like some sort of apology? Shouldn't they have somebody standing up there apologizing to Bears Nation about this?
That's got to be awkward for Ryan Pace when he's watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
You know? Because you know he's probably getting some side eye from whoever he's watching the game with.
His wife?
His wife? His kids?
Right.
Dad, you could have had that
yeah.
guy.
What? I mean, really? Really? And he traded up. He traded up from number 3 to number 2, basically giving away the next 2 years, 3 years of draft possibilities.
And that trade was with the 49ers, who happened to be playing the Super Bowl last night.
I mean, his wife is like, that's where you know, she goes into the kitchen, you hear banging of plates and, you know, silverware and other kinds of things.
I'm fine.
Exactly. It's exactly like that.
Nothing's wrong. They slam the door.
I'm not mad. Why do you think I'm mad at you? Right. So a lot of doors slamming at the Pace household last night. All right. Anyway, here is our hero, Patrick Mahomes, talking about what it was like to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, you never could imagine what this feels like. I mean, it's surreal to be a Super Bowl champion, to know all the hard work that you put in every single day has paid off and being the champs and being the champs with your brothers. You can never think of that. It's awesome just to know that these guys that are with me, we've all strived to get this goal together. And every single day, we understand it's a long process and that we've put the work in. And to be on top in the end, you know that all that hard work's paid off.
Hey, you know, we also need to congratulate Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, there's no more deserving a coach in the history of the NFL than Andy Reid. He's one of the great, I mean, he already would go down as one of the top five coaches of all times, right? In the 100 years of the NFL. But he had never won a Super Bowl before, which is shocking with all the different teams he's been with. And the Andy Reid coaching tree, which I must also acknowledge, does have Matt Nagy falling from it. But the Andy Reid coaching tree is one of the best in football history. Maybe the best in football history when you stop and you think about it. So, that's...
He's such a likable guy, too.
Yeah.
They all love him, you can tell. They call him Big Red.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. So, all right. Could you just play the hook of that song one more time for me, please?
Don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on this show.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Was Deshaun Watson in the playoffs? I can't. Oh, yes, he was, wasn't he? Okay. Let us now move along.
Number two.
Boys are back. Mel Gibson, Danny Glover are getting together with director Richard Donner for the fifth installment of Lethal Weapon. Also, Joe Pesci's going to be in this. Rene Russo's coming back. Mel Gibson was asked by the Hollywood Reporter what it would take. What did it take to get the band all back together?
I don't know. Not too much. I think a good script would do it. And so long as nobody's dropped off the perch, I think we're all right, you know? I mean, the director of the other four, Dick Donner, and he's like, you know, he's still got it. He's not a youngster, but he's still got the goods. He's sharp, full of wit, and his story sense is good, and he's got a ton of energy, so that's good.
You know he's old because he still calls himself Dick. That's how you know when a guy's older. Anybody named Richard, born after 1960, is Richard. Anybody, actually, it's probably even 1950 now. Somewhere in there. Let's call it 55. Let's split the baby. Born before, you're still Dick. After 55, you're Richard. Or Rich. Richie. Funny how the language changes. And finally, here's the one we've been waiting for.
Number one.
Oh my gosh. Dash cam video has now surfaced of an alleged super drunk Michigan State representative in the Michigan House of Representatives. Rebecca Warren from Ann Arbor. She scraped a guardrail and failed a sobriety test in Auburn Hills, even though she said she was driving to Ann Arbor from Detroit. Warren repeatedly questioned police when they asked her to take the preliminary breath test, which she eventually refused.
I'm an elected official. Like, every time in my life has been an official. So, okay. I'm wearing 5 and 2, but I can still do whatever you want. I need you right now. Come with me.
Perfect. Okay. It was hard to hear that. She lives every day in a fishbowl. Every day in a fishbowl as an elected official. And I like the copper right there. Actually, if he's in Chicago, he's a copper. If he's in Michigan, he's a state trooper or whatever he is. But I like the officer right there. It's like, okay. Yeah, okay. She was trying to pull the don't you know who I am. Police love that.
This is career ending for me. Can my Jeep end up where I am at the end of the night, please?
Unfortunately not. I can't do that.
That just sucks. Could you just tell me if this story is going to be on the news?
They're not going to see this.
I'm elected.
No, they're not going to see
this. People would be like, the senator got arrested. They'd be like, this whole is going to be, this is going to be like the most famous arrest you ever made.
Oh my God. The most oh,
she truly is, Rebecca. She's the worst.
She really is. This is like the most famous thing you're ever going to do.
It's a grown-up Becca.
It's going to be in the news.
Oh, God. Do we know what happened to her today? I mean, now it's really on the news. You know, if she had just gotten pulled over and she got a DUI, right? I mean, it's not necessarily career ending. I think half the people in Springfield have DUIs. I mean, you can, as long as you go and you handle the situation, you're appropriate, and then you seek treatment or whatever it happens to be, because obviously if you get a DUI, you're having an issue. So you can go do that. There is grace and mercy. There can be. Unless you're, don't you know who I am?
This is going to be like the most famous arrest you ever made.
All right. There you go. There she is. That's our Becca of the day right here on the Rokan Show. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.